Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to remind you of something this morning. Familiar scripture. Y'all can probably tell me where it is. Psalm 91. It says, He who dwells, who lives, remains constant, and abides in the secret place of the Most High. In His presence is what that's talking about. Shall abide or shall continue to have residence and live under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm reminded of a scripture that talks about how God wants to gather us as a hen gathers her chicks. But in this case, we're not those ones who won't. We've said we will and we have. Let Him gather us. We'll abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm here to tell you this morning, I hope you're on the same page with me, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God, and in Him I will trust. In Him alone will I trust. There's so many distractions out there in this day and age. So many things that people try to get you to succumb to. And, you know, I'm going to tell you this morning, I want to talk about that a little bit, how this week the struggle that I had, but how God raised me up, began to speak to my heart immediately when I was just honest with Him and said, you know, I felt like such a, I know none of you probably ever feel like this, but I feel like such a goof sometimes. You know, when I finally get a chance to see, you know, that's been the cry of my heart. You all know that. It's been the cry of my heart to really see. You know, this is not just a cute saying. I live this daily. God's put this in me. And my cry, my heart's cry is, mirror, mirror in the book. Show me how I really look. Not how somebody else looks. Not where somebody else is at. But show me how I really look to Him. To You, Lord. And praise God, even though I had a struggle this week, on Thursday, you know, I got to tell you something. I went in and saw the ostomy surgeon on Wednesday. Let me tell you about this guy. This is the same guy who came to my bedside in the ER or the OR prep room, you know, waiting room, and prayed with me. And I went to his office, and there on the wall, and I didn't see it till the nurse left. It's probably a good thing because I broke down. I did. I got all emotional. But there was a picture of an operating room with surgeons and staff standing around. But there right in the middle of them was Jesus with His arm around the surgeon and His hand guiding the surgeon's hand. And the caption or the title below it says, Chief Operating Officer or Chief of Medical Staff. That's what it was, Chief of Medical Staff. There's a man you can trust. Because his heart's after God. I had a conversation with another doctor this week who is not even on the same page. I don't know whether she's a Christian or not. It's none of my business. I don't care. I care. I'd like to see her saved if she's not. But she's so caught up in her education that all she can see is that by the things she does, she helps people. No. She again made the comment to me, well, you know, they saved your life. And I stopped her right there. I said, no. God saved my life. Don't come to me with that kind of stuff because I'm not going with you. I don't despise you. I despise the mentality. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's the mentality that I despise. If you can't give glory to God in everything you do and everything you say and everything you are, then you're in the wrong place. You better check where you're at. You better check where you're at. There is nothing impossible for God. There is nothing that He has said that He will not do. And there's nothing beyond His ability. Amen? Is that right? Praise the Lord. If that's the case, then why do I fear? Why do I dread? The only reason I might get in trouble or I might have problems or start to feel, you know, bad about myself is because I tried to please that person rather than please God. Are you with me? I'm not going there with you. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you sit in this church or you sit out there and I talk to you. I'm not going with you any place that I'm not safe or I'm not secure, and that I'm not saved. That means safe. I know what I'm saved from, and I need to be saved from me as much as anything. Amen? That you catch yourself, you know, God's been good to reveal to me the places where I've struggled and how it's not something outside, it's the influences that are influencing me, but where I'm not putting enough emphasis in the right place. And then God reveals where I'm at and what I'm really like. Mirror, mirror in the book, show me how I really look. And as that happens, God becomes bigger in my life, He becomes richer, and glory to God. The process goes on until the day that I draw my last breath, whatever time that is. And I'll tell you another thing. Through all those things and those outside influences, if you don't have the whole armor of God on, when they come, you're going to stop, even if it's only for a second, and entertain those thoughts. And one of those thoughts came to me, and I said, wait a minute. God, you didn't save me to turn around and see my life snuffed out. So I don't care what their philosophy is. I don't care what their belief is. If it doesn't line up with the Scripture, I'm not going with you. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep what I've committed to Him, which means my life, my decisions, until the day that He returns. If He wants to come for me, I'm ready to go. But He didn't save me just to turn around and have me a few months later take me away. Amen? But I'm not going to get involved in the world system. And there's a lot of people out there in a lot of ways that want you involved, want you to be part of the world system. Now, there may be a few things that we do that we think, you know, again, I prayed long and hard before some of the decisions I made about the hospital and all that. I'm not going to go into that. But God's in control. God's in control. I'm not worried about it. It's in His hands, and I've committed everything into His hands. Everything, including you. Now, do you feel safe? Because that's the best place you can be, is in His hands. Isn't that right, Gene? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm blessed to be here this morning. Are you? And I want you to also know, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to publicly apologize to you. Part of the reason why this has been so, why it was a struggle for me until I finally surrendered and went to God and just said, God, you know, here's the deal. Laid it all out, and then He began to speak to me. Is that I have allowed the system to dictate what I do and where I go and when I go. Now you say, how's that possible? I've missed 2 weeks. It's two get-togethers last week. One here and one for the breakfast. And I'm here to tell you that's not going to happen anymore. If they're there, they're there. And if they're not, I'm sorry, I'm going. You hear what I'm telling you? See, this whole experience has been a learning experience for me. It's been a experience where God has shown me, again, what I really look like. And if I look that way to me, I can't imagine how I look to you. Are you with me? Gene said something this morning that blessed me. And when I hear these comments, I don't solicit these comments, but they bless my heart because that's my cry. I want people, when they see me, I want people, when they see you, to see Jesus. Amen? To see Jesus. That's what I want. I remember what was on the back of a business card one time. It said, if you meet me and you forget about who I am, or who forget who I am, or forget me, you've lost nothing. But if you meet Him, forget Him, you've lost everything. Amen? Pretty profound. So, God's good. And once again, I'm here to tell you, He's still on the throne. And the enemy is still under yours and my feet. Do you really believe that this morning? If you're part of the body of Christ and Christ is the head, then that means you're seated with Him right now. Not in the sweet by and by, but right now. His promises, His power, His authority, His glory is all on you right now. Amen? Hallelujah. That's not my sermon, but I'm getting pumped up real good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's see what the announcements are. Actually, remember Patrick and Donna? I talked to them here just a day or two ago. They're having a good time. What's that? What's that? you almost had me going there for a minute, Kathy. But anyway, they're doing really good. They're really blessed. Patrick is up. Donna's up. They're really having a good time. They're headed for Stan and Connie sometime this coming week. And they'll be back, from what I understand, by next Wednesday. Praise the Lord. Or actually, a week from Sunday. Or Wednesday, Pat, Wednesday after the next Sunday. One more Sunday, then Wednesday, okay? I knew what I was trying to say. I just wasn't getting it out to you. Praise the Lord. Anyway, so basically keep Stan and Connie in prayer. You know, God's doing some tremendous things a lot of places. And He's still reaching out and touching people, you know. Even some people maybe who have rejected the good news, rejected the truth, or who have struggled with it. Keep Elizabeth and Eric in prayer, will you? Will you do that? The enemy has lied to Eric, and Eric's bought that. As far as I know, he's still in that. And his, from what I understand from the report I got, he still feels like he's gone too far. No. I'm here to tell you, I'm still here. And if anybody has gone too far in their thoughts, I mean, in what they've done and what they've said, it's me, in my estimation. But that's not what God said. That's my human reasoning. Amen? We need to learn and understand what it is to forgive ourselves. If we make a mistake, if we do something that we think displeases the Father, I'll get into that in a few minutes. He doesn't give up on us. Do you believe that? What does your Bible say? He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, does that sound like safe and saved? Amen. And just nothing will separate you from love. Amen? Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. Oh, y'all missed some good places to give God glory. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anything else that I can't think of or I haven't mentioned that we need to mention? For anybody who doesn't know, August the 8th, I'm supposed to go in and get this thing taken off my stomach. Hallelujah. And that's one more step in the right direction. I'm healed. Nothing's going to sway me from that. And the mountains that thought I was facing have been cast into the sea. And that's one of the things that I grabbed a hold of and confessed from the moment I got in the hospital to the moment I left. That mountain is gone. It's in the sea. And it is in the sea. Not going to be. Not getting there. It is in the sea. What we're waiting for now is the full manifestation. How many remember the story about the corn? First comes the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. That's paraphrased, but if you understand what I'm saying, okay? A lot of times our faith is active and working, but we don't see an immediate answer. And we get bent out of shape sometimes because of that, right? Y'all aren't like me. Again, we don't struggle with what God's outcome is. We struggle with His timing. I saw one nod. Somebody can say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen. Let's give God His tithes and our offerings this morning. You know, folks, it's all in your outlook. I say that tongue in cheek. It's not just your outlook. It's what you know. And it's who you know. The enemy is faithful. The enemy has plans. But his plans, if we're in God, are worthless. They can't come to fruition. Oh, and I heard somebody say, yeah, but. No, there's no buts. There's no billy goats in God's kingdom. There's sheep, but no billy goats. There's no buts. As they once said, there's no ifs or ands or buts about it. Amen? Hallelujah. They'll come forward. By the way, my understanding is here very shortly. Stan and Connie are going to head back this way, and from what I hear, they're not going to be in any big hurry to leave. So, that's what I say. Praise the Lord. Great. Anyway, Brother Bill.
Heavenly Father, we thank You for each and every person that's here this morning. We look forward to the blessings that you have for us, but Father, more so than that, we want to be a blessing to you.
Yes.
We ask you to bless and multiply this offering we are about to collect here, and we ask you to help us have our spirits and ears open for what you have for us this morning.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. It's been a long time since we've... But that's going to change. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. Praise you, Lord. Father, again, we thank you for this time. More than anything, Lord, we give you praise, honor, glory for being our Father, being the one who provides for us, being the one who meets our needs, being the one who has given us promises and has set us free from sin, sickness, doubt, unbelief, from mental distress, from all those things, Lord, that the enemy planned. This morning, Lord, I find and I take comfort, and I pray these people take comfort in your word this morning, and that they're encouraged, they're lifted up, they're edified, they're exhorted and comforted by your word this morning, Lord. That new hope, more hope will arise within them, a new excitement, Lord, for your word and for your presence in their lives, Lord. Again, Lord, hide me behind the cross. You're worthy, I'm not. I don't have anything to offer these people, but you do, Lord. And now I just yield to you what you've given me, Lord. I speak with authority, and I thank you, Lord. Touch my coal lips with the coal from off the altar. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that we're going to be changed today. And we're going to have more faith, and we're going to be one step closer. Another step of glory is going to be taken today by each individual. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start this morning, if you want to turn to Proverbs 13:12, by sharing a scripture with you. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." In other words, hope withheld for or until a stated time, or put off or delayed, makes. In other words, it causes you to become weak, sick or wounded. Your heart or your inner man, your mind, your will and your emotions. And again, that word sick is the same word as the word makes. It's number 2470 in the concordance, and it means the same thing. To become weak, sick or wounded. But when the desire, and that word desire means a thing or an object desired. And I'll promise you that, you know, God's concerned with the things we desire, but the biggest thing He's concerned with, and what will make His word come alive, and where you'll get an immediate response, is when your desire is more for Him than anything else. Now, for some of you, you may know this, you may not. Anybody who's known me for a while, I'm the type of person that I'm always thinking ahead, and I'm always looking at things, trying to anticipate things. But I also am a person who I don't like to rock the boat. And that's been a handicap for me. Because what happens is when I feel that I've offended somebody or I've made somebody upset, I get upset. And I'm here to tell you that I don't try to make people upset, but my personality is just one that can cause people to be upset for whatever reason. They may not even have a good reason. It's just my personality, okay? That's fine. God knows. God loves me. And if you don't, shame on you. But the problem is that I want to be a people pleaser too. To the point where I have sometimes wanted to please people more than I've wanted to please God. For an instant. For one instant. Anybody who knows me knows that's not my heart. But that's what sometimes happens. And this past week I had the occasion for that to happen. And I caught myself digressing rather than progressing back into situations and circumstances that I'm here to tell you today, I'm not going back into that. God delivered me from that a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how many years, more than I can count, more than I can remember. But I'm not going back into that. And I had a person who claimed to be a Christian, and again, it's none of my business if that person is or is not, but the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And so you know where a person is. You know where they're coming from. You know what's really in their heart by the things that come out of their mouth. What's manifest in the spirit is manifest in the natural or in the flesh, and what's manifest in the flesh is a direct result of what's going on in the spirit, positive or negative. Amen? Praise the Lord. Anyway, we had a conversation, and I went away from there upset. That I had caused this person to be upset. Upset, you know, and then all of a sudden, I went to God because I was beside myself. That's hard to do, in case you don't know. But the point is that I was struggling. And I cried out to God, and I told Him, I just flat told Him, I was honest with Him, God, in my eyes, I am such a goof. I am such a goof. And I realized, and God showed me, well, Bill, you're trying to... He didn't beat me up. It was that still small voice again coming saying, this is the way, walk in it. That I want to please men sometimes as much as I want to please God may be demonstrated from the demonstration more so. That's not the case, but that could be construed from what happened. And as I began to dwell on this and I began to cry out to God, seeking an answer, you know, repenting, God began, the Holy Spirit began to come and minister to me. And as He did, that's what this message came out of this morning. We're going to look at some, you know, several different scriptures, but the point is that there's a theme running through this. Again, you are safe. You are saved. From what? From death, destruction, from, you know, being uncomfortable, from all those things. Even when they come in your life, you're safe. Especially if, like in Psalm 91 this morning, which we read, which had nothing to do with the message, I just felt like God wanted me to read that. He that dwells, remains constant, and lives and abides in the presence of the Almighty can say, and I can say, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen? It'd be a good scripture to go back and look at. You're saved and you're safe. If ever you can see that in the Word, it's in that scripture in Psalm 91. And what I want to do is I want to please God. But one of the things that's happened is in the past when I've gotten upset like this, and it's my flesh. How many know it's the flesh? It's like I wouldn't forgive myself. I messed up again. God, I'm not worthy. Well, that's not what He said. You and I are worthy enough that He gave His life for us. How much more worthy do you need to be? Does that mean everything we do and say is right? No. But it means if you've got a heart after God, then God is quick to come on the scene. He's quick to forgive. Amen? And He's not here to judge. My Lord, if we could get this down in our spirits. John 3:17, 18, and 19. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation that's come in the world, that the world didn't believe on the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the condemnation. There is no other condemnation. The enemy tries to bring guilt. He tries to bring shame to us because we miss what we feel is missed the mark. But we have an advocate who's standing there, who's making intercession for us, who knows, and who in God's eyes, when guys, He speaks to God about us, about you, and about myself, about every one of us, God does not have any ought or anger against us. Do I need to repeat that? Was that clear enough? Psalm 50, verse 15 says, call upon Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify Me. Well, I can tell you that's the truth. I called on God, and He delivered me. I was in trouble, or I felt I was in trouble. If nothing else, in trouble with Him because I had messed up again. I'd let my flesh get carried away. I don't want to see a show of hands, but how many's ever done that? In fact, how many did that this week? And you shall glorify Me. Duh. I got no choice. When I see God and the Holy Spirit step on the scene and begin to change my heart and begin to show me and bring me into a clear picture, seeing things from the spiritual realm, not the natural realm, because that's a deceitful realm, I can't help but glorify Him. Amen? The Spirit and the Word agree, and it just comes out in praise and worship to Him. Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon Me, and I will answer him. When is he going to answer? When you call upon him. I will be with him in trouble. He says, I'm going to be with you in trouble. You missed a good place to shout. What kind of trouble? Any kind of trouble. Even if it's self-inflicted trouble. And I will answer him or answer you. Let's make it personal. You will call on him and he will answer you and he will be with you in trouble. That's twice now he's said that. But you know the good part? I will deliver you and honor you. Why? Because you called on him. You went to the right place. You looked in the right direction for help, for solace, for comfort, and put your hope in him. Not about y'all, but he's never disappointed me. Even when I've disappointed myself. Are you with me? Listen carefully to what Psalms 34:19 says. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. We're going to have problems. We're going to have trials. We're going to have things that come up. We're going to struggle with this flesh because we're trying to crucify the flesh, right? So they're going to come. Don't take a step back and be surprised. As Stan might say, bet your eyes like a frog on a West Texas hailstorm. You know what I'm talking about? God, I can't. What's going on? Well, guess what? God's about to do something mighty for you if you'll just look in the right direction and call on him. Forget what's going on around you and look to him. Who is he? The author and the finisher of your faith. That word delivers means snatches. Many of the afflictions or the problems and the discomfort, the things, the heartache of the righteous. It says of the righteous. He's not talking about unbelievers here. He's talking about the righteous. But the Lord snatches him out. Not just delivers, but instantly snatches him out of them all. Good news. Good news. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken to you. Why? That in me you may have peace. He just said, call upon him in the day of trouble. He'll deliver you. He said, call upon him and he'll answer and he will be with you in that time of trouble. And he'll deliver you out of it. He didn't just say he'd be with you. He said he'll deliver you out of it. So these things he's spoken to us, to you and I, that in him we may have peace. He says, in this world you will have tribulation. The same thing. Anxieties, attacks, things that come up that you didn't expect. But he says, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The world's not in charge. I don't care what you see out there. I don't care what anybody says. The world is not in charge. You may see things out there that you don't understand, but that does not mean God is not still on the throne and that he's not still in charge. If he's not, then let's pack this up now and I'll go home and go fishing or something. Let's forget this. Otherwise, as far as I'm concerned, we're spitting in the wind. You can say amen. Or oh me, one or the other. He has overcome the world. What does that mean? Well, what did he do? He suffered the beating and the stripes in Isaiah 53:5. We're going to get into that. Talk about exactly what verses 3 through 8 show when you study it out. He went to hell. He suffered there. God turned his back on him. God condemned him. Literally condemned him. Because he carried what you and I, what he went to the cross for, what he took those stripes for, what you and I deserved, he took. And whether you understand it or not, we got off scot-free with only a debt of love to him. He overcame the world. That means the world's systems, the world's thoughts, the world's way of doing things, the way they try to get you involved in the things that are worldly and are not spiritual. He overcame all of that. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace! In the world you will have tribulation. Every day something tries to attack somewhere. Something doesn't go right. Something financial comes up. Or you're struggling with something emotionally. Or maybe in my son-in-law's case, in my daughter's case, the government's not putting out the money they're supposed to be putting out and for the circumstances that they're in as he goes to school. How many know money is one of the biggest distresses or stresses we have? You know, one of the things that I've taken to praying as I pray over meals is I not only thank Him for the food and sanctify, but I thank Him for the provision that He is my provider and that He supplies all of my need and your need according to His riches. Not the riches in this world. Not my riches. Non-existent. But I am rich. And I'm at peace because I've got Him. And because I'm close to Him and He's close to me. And that's because I've done what I need to do to make sure that that happens. When situations arise, if you feel far from God, guess who moved? Like I did this week. But since Thursday, I've got a totally different outlook. The lights come back on. There's joy in my spirit, in my soul, in my life. And I know God is on the throne. And God is moving in my behalf and your behalf. I'm not just talking about what I see for me. I know He's moving for you. The condition is that you give Him your whole heart and you run to Him. Don't run from Him in trouble. Don't start thinking, well, boy, I goofed up again. You know. But run to Him in the time of trouble. He said He'd deliver you. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, please. There's quite a bit in those five or six verses, however many there are. Isaiah 53, verses 3 through 8. Now, if you'll listen carefully and your spirit's open this morning like we declared, then you maybe will see something new here and you'll see that this is not just talking about one verse, but that every verse in succession here, and those specific verses especially, talks about one thing. Yours and my deliverance. Yours and my being set free. All of our sickness, all of our griefs being taken away because of the stripes that He bore, the bruises that He took. Verse 3 says, He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Now look at verse 4. Surely He has borne our griefs, and that word from the original language is sickness, and carried our sorrows. And that word sorrows means pain, both physically and mentally. Are you with me? Surely He has. It's done. It's past tense. Borne our griefs or our sicknesses and carried our physical and mental pain. Yet we esteemed Him, and that means counted Him. Stricken or defeated, smitten or slayed or killed by God, and afflicted. That means mishandled or humiliated. Are you with me? You know, people are going to disagree with you about things because they're not on the same page as you. Even people in the church. They haven't walked in your shoes. They haven't gone through the experiences you've gone through in life. And so their faith may not be on the same page as you. I'm not saying it's any less, but I'm saying it may not be on the same page as you. Don't let that bother you. Again, look to the One who is the author and finisher of both yours and mine and other people's faith. He's the One who offers it. He's the One who's there to finish it. Verse 5. And if you're taking notes, you'll want to pay close attention to this. Some of these words are the same. Some of them are a little different. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. That word wounded is 2490 in the concordance, and it means desecrated, defiled, dishonored, and slain. The word transgressions literally means simply rebellion. He was wounded. He was desecrated, defiled, dishonored, and slain for our rebellion, yours and mine, past, present, and future. Bruised means crushed, broken, or shattered. That's 1792. The iniquities means perversity, depravity, guilt, and punishment. He suffered the guilt, the depravity, and the punishment of our sin on the cross. He took it from us, and He bore it on the cross. And now we're washed and covered in the blood. And God only sees us through the eyes of Jesus and through that blood. And nothing, listen to me, nothing gets through that blood. The chastisement, that means the discipline. Jesus bore the discipline and the correction for our sin. That's 41:48. That discipline, that correction, was for our peace. In other words, for our completeness, our soundness, our welfare, our tranquility, our health, our prosperity, and our contentment. And that's 79:65. And the stripes literally means bruises, wounds, or blows. And because of those wounds, blows, and bruises, and wounds, we are healed. And that talks not only about physical, individual, or individual ones, but it's national hurts as well as personal distresses and defects. And that's 74:95. Do you see that? Does that have any effect on anybody besides me? Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord didn't lay that iniquity on us. He laid it on him. He laid all the iniquity of our lives on Jesus. That word astray means wandered or sinned or being you've been misled. And that's 85:82. Merriam-Webster says the word astray is off the right path or route, away from what is proper or desirable. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He took it and he didn't even complain. And if somebody comes against us or we have a situation or a problem with somebody in our lives that we perceive as a problem, it may not even be a problem, we just made it up in our minds or let it get exploded out of proportion in our own hearts or minds. Look what he went through. And he didn't even open his mouth. He took it willingly. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before the shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He never complained. The only thing you ever heard come out of his mouth was when he was in the garden and he said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But not what I want, but what you want, God. What's best, what you have planned, that's what I want, Lord. And we don't have to go through this. What are we complaining about? We kind of sit back and we wonder, what in the world is going on? Why does this person not seem to like me? Well, maybe it's not you. Maybe it's the same thing as the enemy. The enemy doesn't like the word or the words that come out of your mouth. He tries to steal that word so he can take you down, so he can put you off balance, and so he can take your power and authority away. How many know your power and authority comes not only from the work of Jesus, but what his word says? That's where the power and authority is, by living in and quoting and praying his word. Is that right or not? Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? God took him from that prison of hell and the judgment that he faced on the third day, where he had been cut off from the land of the living for the transgressions or the rebellion of his people. And for that rebellion of the people, he was stricken. People, I think, in all honesty, we have not taken seriously exactly or not really understood what happened in those moments when he was beaten. What that really means, what those words really mean, what the real light that's behind those words is. Everything you and I were guilty of, the lies, the deception, the hatred, the anxiety, the fear, the doubt, the torment that we inflicted on others as well as what was inflicted on us. And Jesus took it all on him, that rebellion, and paid the price as an innocent lamb. Went to the shears and was slaughtered for what was our conviction. What would have convicted us. And then in Jeremiah 29:11-14, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. He not only tells you he has thoughts, but he says he's thinking them towards you and I, says the Lord. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts of peace. Your peace has been paid for. He paid the price for that peace. And not of evil. If there's something going on in your life, I don't care what anybody says or what their mixed up minds, bless, you know, darling hearts and mixed up minds, tell them it didn't come from God if it's evil. My Bible says God turns evil to good. Turns what was meant for yours and my harm to good. That means the outcome is sure. His thoughts for me are for good and not for evil. To give me a future and a hope. We talked about that hope in Proverbs this morning about the hope being deferred. If your hope's deferred this morning, if you've got someplace that you're hoping or you're struggling with, it's time to go back to the one who paid for that hope and realize that your only hope is in God. Not in your ability, not in your wisdom, not in your thoughts, except for when you surrender to God and commit it into His hands. Release it to Him and watch Him step on the scene and bless your life in ways you never even imagined. You couldn't think about even the ways that God can bless your life, and He wants to bless your life. Isn't that right? Then He says in verse 12, He says, "Then you will call upon me," or call on me, "and I will go," and call upon me and go and pray to me. Listen again. This is definite. I will listen to you. Why would He listen to you? Because you're looking to Him. You're seeking Him. You're not operating in your own ability, your own wisdom, your own insight, or what you think you know. You're operating in the truth. The only thing that's truth is this. And what He speaks to you, backed up by this. You know, God's still speaking to people today. But everything He speaks to you will always line up with what's already written and what's already there. Amen? And then verse 13 says, "And you will seek me." You will seek me. Man, I sought Him. I sought Him this week. I was upset with me. I was upset that I might have disappointed Him, that I might have let Him down. And I went and I sought Him. And you know what? I found Him. Like it says, "And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart." My heart was crying out. I was upset because I knew that I had done something that I wasn't sure pleased God. In fact, I was sure it didn't please God. It didn't please me, so I'm sure it wasn't anything He was exactly excited about. But the point is, when I called on Him, He was there. He delivered me out of those afflictions. He overcame the world. Those tribulations, He overcame those. I'm free from those now. You and I are free. Amen? And then He backs it up in verse 14 by saying, "I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring you back from your captivity." Whatever has taken you and stifled you for that moment, whatever has taken you prisoner for that moment, the thoughts, the anxieties, maybe it's a mistake. Maybe you sinned in your own mind or in what you feel in your heart. But you're forgiven. The only thing that is required is going to Him and saying, "God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I don't want to be like that anymore, and I don't want to repeat that. And I will bring you back from your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places where I have driven you." Now, I'm going to qualify that. God doesn't drive us into evil. But sometimes He allows situations and maybe uses situations. Well, not maybe. He does use situations in our life to bring us to a place where we will trust Him, where we finally come to the end of us. "I'm so great. I'm so smart. I know. I got the answers." And go back and rely on Him. I don't believe anybody here is that arrogant or so self-absorbed. But I thank God that if that is the case, that He says He'll bring us back from our captivity, and He'll gather you from the nations, from all the places where He drove us to get us to be where we needed to be, says the Lord. "And I will bring you to the place from which I caused you to be carried away." To be carried away. And let's face it, we get carried away easily. Amen? Would that we get carried away as easily in God as we do the things that are around us, the situations, the prognoses, the diagnoses, the pronouncements, the reports that we get in an everyday life. And once again, my goodness, it's so simple. It's made to steal the Word from us. So we're weak. So we'll fall. It's so easy to say the enemy only attacks those that serve God. But it's the truth. If you're not under attack, if you're not having something happen in your life almost daily, or God's not chastening you in some way, which is for your good because He loves you, and that doesn't mean beating you over the head, but pointing you, coming to you, and putting His arm around you and saying, this is the way my son, this is the way my child, my daughter, walk in it. That's the chastening of the Lord right there. Feeling grieved in your heart and knowing that you have done something that maybe was not pleasing to God, and yet running to Him and hearing Him say, this is the way, walk in it. Knowing that you're loved. God only chastens those that He loves. Amen? Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. I have found in my life in the past, and it's getting better day by day, that when I cry out, mirror, mirror in the book, show me how I really look, that I'm seeing things in my life that I was not even aware. I was so oblivious that I wasn't even aware were there. Not sin, but just places where I missed the mark and didn't understand, didn't have the understanding. Thank God that He's illuminating my understanding. He's illuminating my mind, my thoughts, my spirit, and I'm beginning to see what manner of person I am. When we sing that song, I Need You More, oh my goodness, absolutely the truth. It's absolutely the truth. We need Him more. Every day, more than yesterday, more than today, we need more tomorrow than we did today. And you know what? This ought to bring joy and excitement to your hearts. He's right there to answer. He's right there to answer. He's right there with you. He didn't leave. He didn't leave. Amen? Is that right? Has that been the experience you've experienced in God? The only time I get in trouble is when I think about, or I don't think about God's way. I think about my way, or I try to do it my way. That's when I get in trouble with God. And in what trouble, I don't mean cast away. I mean where I stop the blessing of God, and for a moment I feel that separation. But the minute I call on Him and I say, God, I'm sorry. I acknowledge my shortcoming. I acknowledge my mistake. He's right there on the scene. Fellowship is never discontinued. It continues on right at that moment. For a second, for just a second maybe, but it's never broken with Him. Amen? Fellowship. How hard is that? Two fellows in the same ship. It's Christ in me. Christ with me. Wow. Fellowship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God causes through His Word and our yielding to Him and running to Him when those things happen in our lives. But He's still right there. And you know what? In many of those circumstances, even though you may not understand it, you're walking on the water. You know why? Because your focus is on Him. Oh, I just threw you one you're not quite sure about, didn't I? We lead a supernatural life. Amen? Not a spectacular. Remember, that's where we get in trouble because we get too busy looking for the spectacular. Or in fact, so busy looking for the spectacular, we miss the supernatural. Anything that causes you to worry, anything that causes you grief or discomfort, is not from God. It's human reasoning based on things you perceive in your carnal minds and hearts, or the mind, will, and the emotions, the seat of appetites. And it's not from God. I don't know how to make it any clearer than that. It's not from God. You are not thinking in your right mind, in the mind that God, Jesus, died to give you, the peace that Jesus died to give you and did give you. And that's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He comes to deliver, to remind you of the Word, to give you revelation. And revelation not of what you did wrong, but of what needs to be done to get back on the right track. So anything that comes that is adversarial to the Word, or adversarial to peace and blessing in your life, you need to, just like the old soccer ball or the football, drop it and kick it as far as you can kick it. You need to, with your mouth, say, "Not here. I'm not receiving that. That's not God. That's not what I am. That's not who I am. That's not the promise of God. And I reject it." Send it back to the one who sent it to you. "I'm not having it." Go back to the one who sent it. And you know what? I get the giggles when I see the things the enemy tries to send on me go back on the enemy. I still get really blessed when I hear the story of Jason and Desiree finding warts on their hands. And all Stan said to him was, "You know what? You just see those on the devil's nose." And all they did was drop their heads, and they saw those warts go on the nose of the enemy. And that picture was enough to save them, to deliver them from those warts, and they were healed. How about that? Didn't even need Compound W. Hallelujah. Once again, folks, my heart gets grieved when I see how much His people are missing out on the blessings and the things that He has. Nowhere in His Word does He say, "This one can have it, but this one can't." That would mean that God is partial, and He's not. He's partial to His Word, partial to His promises, but He's not partial to you and I. What He said, He will do. And you remember that John 3:16 was as much for you. In fact, if you were the only one, Jesus still would have said, "I love you this much. I love you this much." Amen? Praise you, Lord. If anyone wants prayer this morning, we're here to pray for you. God's not in the embarrassing business. He's in the delivering business. He's in the restoring business. Amen? If you need prayer for any reason, you want to come, come. If you want to just raise your hand, raise your hand. Okay, you're going down to see Him. Is that what I'm understanding? Okay. I agree. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You that because of the Word that's in Kathy's life, because of her faith in You, Lord, and because You are in her and the Word is in her, Lord, You're going to have, by the Holy Spirit, something to say to that young man. Something that's going to illuminate his understanding. In fact, right now, Lord, we send the Word to that young man. We say, "Be healed, be whole." That means spiritually as well as physically. In every aspect of your life, Father, we thank You You're going to touch his life. We're going to have a good report. She's going. We cover Kathy and Jerry as they go. And Lord, we stand behind them. They go with our blessing and with our prayers And we thank you, Lord, that you're going to get victory and the kingdom is going to be receive blessing and is going to be built because of this. And Lord, you're going to direct their steps, order their steps in your word, and direct their steps according to your plan and your purpose and your will. Not ours, yours. In Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Father, I thank you for these people, Lord. I thank you for the tremendous things you've done in their lives, Lord, for what they represent, Lord. Pray that more than anything, they represent you more than anything else. And I thank you, Lord, for the victories that you've given in their lives and my life and that you've demonstrated towards us. Now, Lord, we look to new and fresh victories tomorrow. We look to more and to grow more in you and to be brought closer to you and more in your image and likeness tomorrow. We're not done with today, Lord, but we thank you for what we have right this moment and what you're doing. And we anticipate your supernatural, inevitable intervention in our lives every day, Lord. We give you thanks. Now go with your people, bless them, comfort them, and reveal yourself to them in everything that happens, Lord. In correction, direction, and let their hearts be filled with your joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.